continue our study this afternoon on the subject of worship. And before we begin, you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 26. That's going to be our text for today. Book of Deuteronomy in chapter 26. But before we begin, I want to make a point that it is important for us to understand. And the point is simply this. For most believers in Jesus Christ, prayer and praise are believed to be worship. Prayer and praise are believed to be worship. But the fact is, our prayers and our praise may contain worship, as we've said before, but by themselves, prayer and praise is not worship by themselves. For most believers, let me give you three points here by introduction. For most believers, prayer is the focus of the soul on its needs. Prayer is the focus of the soul on its needs. Number two, praise is the focus of the soul on its blessings. Now please understand, there's nothing wrong with praying for our needs. In fact, the Bible says we're supposed to bring our prayers, our petitions, boldly to the throne room of grace, right? There's nothing wrong with doing that. But the point I want you to understand is that for most believers, our prayers are basically focused on self. Okay? Praise. Praise is nothing certainly wrong with praising God, giving thanks for the things that God has given to us. In fact, the Bible says we ought to praise God. We ought to give thanks. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, the Bible says. But for most Christians, praise is focused on what we have received. Again, it is who's at the center? Self. Prayer is focused on what I need. Self. Praise is focused on what I have received. Self. See the problem? That's the problem. Worship, however, is not focused on prayer, and it is not focused on praise. Worship is focused on God. It's focused on God. The focus of worship is not our needs, and it is not God's blessings. Rather, it is God and God alone. Worship is focused on God. Now, you notice I said for most Christians this is true. And the reason why it is true for most Christians is simply because of the fact most Christians have never obeyed the commandment that is given over in the book of 2 Peter 3:18, where it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." It's kind of like the young woman that I read about. She lived in an apartment building that caught on fire. And she was way up in one of the upper floors there, and the flames were coming up. Because of the flames, she was trapped there on the floor where she stayed. And so, doing the only thing she knew to do, she opened the window and leaned out as far as she could and began screaming like crazy, you know, for help. And sure enough, there was this young, strong, handsome fireman climbed up that ladder, pulled her out of the window, and dropped her. No, he didn't drop her. I just wanted to see if y'all were awake. And I climbed up the ladder and he pulled her out of the window and carried her down to safety. And after the fire was put out, the the young lady and her rescuer were formally introduced one to another. The result of that was they began to see each other. One long they were courting each other. Before long they found that their friendship had grown into love and they were eventually married. Okay, ladies, all one, two, three. Oh, all right. That was a little slow. But here's the point. Here's the point. The young woman would never forget her Savior, right? The young woman would never forget her Savior. She would always remember that were it not for Him, she would have perished, see? She would always remember the Savior, but with the passing of time, as their relationship grew, the fireman became more than just a Savior. He became her friend, became her lover, and became her husband. So, growing in the relationship. That's what we're supposed to do. It's what we're supposed to do. That's the kind of relationship every one of us ought to be having with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He and He alone becomes the focus of our heart, that is when true worship is going to take place. That's when true worship is going to take place. In our study together last week, you remember we noted the first mention of worship in the Bible. We saw it back in Genesis chapter 22 when the Lord God commanded Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. In other words, we saw that worship is giving, it's giving to God that which is the dearest to our heart. It's giving to God that which has first place in our life. When we're willing to give that up for God, then we're ready to begin to practice what we call worship. Now, with that in mind, I want us to notice our text now back in Deuteronomy chapter 26. And we're going to see the Lord God here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, and we're going to be going down several verses here. But we're going to see the Lord God as He begins to introduce what we call the Jewish Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits. And so as we look at this together this afternoon, a couple of things we're going to notice together. Let's begin reading, though. Begin reading in verse number 1. The Lord God said, "And it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth." That's why it's called first fruits, okay? That's this feast called first fruits, that's why. "Thou shalt take," God said, "thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land unto the Lord thy, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place where the Lord thy God shall choose to place His name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day that the Lord thy God, profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God." So here we're going to see in this feast of first fruits, we're going to see worship, but we're going to see again that worship involves sacrifice. Worship involves sacrifice. And in the text, we're going to find the proper attitudes that we ought to have when it comes to worshiping. the proper attitudes that we ought to have. So I want us to begin by noticing, first of all, we see that there is the worshiper's appreciation. The worshiper's appreciation. And there are three things that these Jewish worshipers were to express their appreciation for. Three things that they expressed appreciation for. First of all, for their redemption. As they brought the first fruits of the land, they brought them to the place that the Lord God declared that they were to bring them. They were to, first of all, give their appreciation for their redemption. Look at verse 5 and following. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, Assyrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. In other words, when the people of Israel came to worship during the feast of Passover, they worshiped by remembering the Passover, of how that the Lord God had delivered them from the oppression of the Egyptians. They were to remember how they had been delivered. Today we, as believers in Jesus Christ, worship God. And when we worship God, we should express in our worship, we should express to Him our appreciation because He has saved us, redeemed us, brought us out from under the bondage and the slavery of sin. It should begin with an attitude of giving thanks for the redemption that we have received. Worship involves an attitude of appreciation for our redemption. There's a second thing that we find here, and that is this. Worship involves the worshiper's appreciation, not only for their redemption, but for their restoration. For their restoration. You remember the Lord God had given the land of Canaan to Abraham and to his seed. And the Bible makes it very clear, Genesis chapter 13 and verse 15, that this grant that God gave to Abraham and his seed was to last forever. Now I realize there are a lot of nations today and a lot of groups talking about who owns Israel, who owns Jerusalem. Some say the Jews do, and some say the Palestinians do, and some say some others do. But the Bible says it belongs to Israel. God gave it to them forever. It's their land. It's their land. God has given it to them. And so because of that promise, Israel enjoyed many wonderful blessings, but there came a time when they left the land. They went down into Egypt. They did not have the blessing of dwelling in that promised land. They were in a foreign land, in the land of Egypt. And so when Israel worshiped the Lord their God, they were to express their appreciation that not only had He brought them out of Egypt, but He had restored them to the place that God had given to them. He had brought them back to the place where they were supposed to be. Now, when we as believers in Christ worship God, we should express appreciation. First of all, because He's redeemed us. He's brought us out from under the slavery, out from under the bondage of sin. But we should also express appreciation because He has restored us to a place of spiritual fellowship that was lost in the fall. He has restored us to a place of spiritual fellowship with God that was lost when man rebelled and sinned way back in the Garden of Eden. This is the thing the Apostle Paul was speaking of in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6 when he talks about how that we who have been saved, we who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have been raised up together, and God has made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What was lost is now restored. And so the attitude of the worshiper, when we come to worship God, we ought to worship Him for our for the fact that we have been redeemed. We ought to worship Him because we have been restored. But then also we need to understand that when it comes to worshiping God, that we should also worship Him, as we see here from these Jews. They were to worship Him for their reward. Their reward. In verse number 9, He, talking about the Lord God, He hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. When Israel worshiped the Lord God, they expressed their appreciation for all the blessings that were theirs because of what God had done for them. God had brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery. He had restored them to the land that He had promised to them many, many centuries before. And not only that, but now we find that the Lord God has given to them all kinds of blessings. All kinds of blessings. God did exactly what He promised to do. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10, verse 11. And here's the promise. The Lord thy God brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities. Get this. Which thou buildest not. I'm going to give you cities. You don't even have to build them. Already built. Not only that, houses. Houses full of all good things which thou fillest not. Wells digged which thou diggest not. Vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full. Everything the nation of Israel needed, God freely provided for them. Cities they did not build. Houses full of stuff. They didn't have to buy it. Wells dug. They didn't have to dig them. Vineyards and olive trees planted, producing. They didn't have to plant them. God provided for them every good thing that they needed. God took care of it. God provided it for them. So when Israel came to worship, they were to express their appreciation to the Lord God for all that He had done for them. In the very same way, when we come to worship God, we should come to Him with a sincere appreciation for the blessings that He has bestowed upon us. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That word blessed simply means exalted, lifted up, worshiped. Blessed be the name of our God, or blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Here's why. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Have you ever stopped to consider the blessings that are yours because of your faith in Jesus Christ? I'm talking about blessings we have right now because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We have our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's a blessing. We have His abiding presence inside of us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. That's certainly a blessing. We have the assurance of His never-failing love, His faithful, continual advocacy, and the hope of an eternal home prepared for us in heaven. All of these are blessings. We didn't deserve them. We didn't earn them. Nothing we can do to merit them. But through faith in Jesus Christ, He has redeemed us from under the bondage of sin, brought us back into fellowship with Himself, and given to us all of these wonderful blessings. All of these wonderful blessings. And so when we come to worship, we ought to come with an attitude of appreciation. We ought to come with an attitude of appreciation, expressing our appreciation to God for all of His glorious blessings, for all of His glorious benefits, which He has so graciously and freely bestowed upon us. The worshiper's appreciation. I want you to notice the second thing that we learn here in Deuteronomy 26. That is this. The worshiper's approach. The worshiper's approach. As we go back through the verses that we've already read, we find the attitude of those properly worship, or those who properly worship God, is clearly outlined for us in three key ways. First of all, there is gratitude. Gratitude goes along with what we've already mentioned in the matter of appreciation. But there is a difference. I can say to you, because of your help to me in some matter, I can say to you, I really appreciate what you did. All right? I really appreciate what you did. Do you feel blessed? Sure. Yeah, that's nice to be appreciated, right? Everybody wants to be appreciated. But suppose I come to you and I say, I appreciate what you did for me, but I'm going to take it a step further. I appreciate what you did for me. I'm going to show gratitude. I'm going to take you out to dinner. Now you're really blessed, right? Now you're really blessed. I see you. Some of you woke up with that one. Yeah, and so now we're, gratitude. So there's a difference. Yes, we have an attitude of appreciation, but it ought to go beyond that. Gratitude. Notice it again, verse number 2. In verse number 2, the people of Israel, when they worshipped God, did you notice it? We read it there. When they worshipped God, they worshipped by giving Him the first of all the fruit of the earth. They worshipped by giving the first, not the leftover, the first of the fruit of the earth. That is why with every harvest, the people of Israel would express their gratitude by giving the first fruits. That's where it comes from. They would express their gratitude by giving the first fruits to the Lord God. And by this act of worship, Israel was gratefully acknowledging the Lord God as the source of their harvest. He is the source of all that we have. He's the source of everything I have received. And therefore, in gratitude to what He has given to me, I'm going to give the first part to Him. I'm going to give the first part to Him. In other words, Israel was simply doing exactly what Moses commanded them to do in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 18, when he said this. He said, "Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God." Remember Him. Remember Him. Why? "For it is He that giveth thee power to to get wealth. It is He that gives you power to get wealth. It is He who blesses you with the physical strength, the mental aptitude to do the job that you do in order that you can earn a living. Bottom line, if it wasn't for His blessings, you'd be in bad shape. I'd be in bad shape. We'd all be in bad shape, right? It's God who gives us the power to get wealth. And so therefore, we ought to continually come to our Heavenly Father. Not just to get things from Him. See, that's just selfishness, isn't it? That's just selfishness. Have you ever known somebody that when the phone rang and you saw their number, you didn't want to take the call? Oh, you know people like that too, huh? That you see their number, say, oh, no, oh, my. And the first thought in your mind is what? I wonder what they want now, right? Every time, they only call when they... It's kind of like when I get a call from my boys. I know what's coming. Dear Dad. Yeah. I was sharing it with the youth a couple weeks ago. And the only call when... Dad, have you got a little extra money? I still take their call. Ginger makes me. Yeah, all of us know people like that, don't we? I wonder how many times God sees us, gets on our knees, and He says, oh boy, I wonder what He wants now. It's the only time He ever talks to me. It's the only time He ever prays. Wonder what she wants now. I know it's coming. I know it's coming. That's a terrible sin, folks. When the only time that we talk to other people and the only time we talk to God is when we selfishly want to get something from them. The fact is, we ought to be a people of gratitude, that we are thankful for even the little things. I mean, if you won the... Don't you be playing the lottery. Now that's another sermon. But if you won $1 million, oh Lord Jesus, thank you. Right? Anybody here today thank God for the air you're breathing right now? You get the point? See, we thank Him for the big stuff, but just the little everyday things in life. We ought to be thankful for those too. We ought to have gratitude. We ought to have a heart of gratitude. May God forgive us and deliver us from that wicked and that vile sin of ingratitude. I am firmly convinced that the worst sin, the most common sin in the life of every believer is the sin of ingratitude. Sin of ingratitude. When the people of Israel came, they were to come and they were to bring the first of all the fruit of the earth. They were to show their gratitude to God for His blessing to them by bringing an offering, the first fruit. Not only was there gratitude, there was obedience. Notice it again. In verse 2 to verse number 4, the people of Israel are commanded that they are to worship God, but they're to worship Him in a specific way. Boy, that kind of shoots in the foot the idea that we choose worship according to what appeals to us, doesn't it? God didn't say, you worship me in whatever way makes you feel good. No, God laid down some very clear instructions. Here's how you worship. Here's how you worship. Notice in verse 2 down to verse number 4, we find three things there. First of all, they were told what to bring. They're told exactly, here's what you, when you come to worship me, here's what you bring. You bring the first fruits. They're told how to bring it. You put it in a basket. They're told what to bring. They're told how to bring it. Thirdly, they're told where to bring it. You bring it to the place that you choose. Right? No. God said, you bring it to the place I will choose. I will choose the place. Not you. I choose. So God told them what to bring, told them how to bring it, told them where to bring it. When you bring your worship, God laid down the specifics of what, how, where. God laid it all out for them. Now, some would probably say, well, you know, God, that sounds real good, but I would rather worship closer to my home. Or, God, that sounds real good, but I would rather bring to you what I want to give you. Say. But such worship, while it may make you feel better, while it may you feel spiritual, such worship would not be accepted by God. It would not be accepted by God. You see, true worship, and we mentioned this before, but we're going to say it again. True worship always flows out of an obedient heart. You cannot truly worship God when you're doing things that are contrary to the Word of God, the commandment of God. True worship always flows out of an obedient heart. If we are going to give to God the worship that He deserves, then we need to remember John 4:23, the hour cometh, now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? Simply means this. True worship comes from the heart, and it comes in a way that is in line with and obedient to God's truth. True worship in spirit, in truth. Comes from the heart, it is sincere, and it agrees with the Word of God. That's true worship. That's true worship. One commentator said it very well when he noted this. He said, only when we are in a place of obedience are we truly in a place where we can worship. Everything else is just a show. Everything else is just a religious exercise. True worship only can take place when we are in absolute obedience to the Word of God. Gratitude. Obedience. There's a third thing that we find here, and that is humility. Letter C. Humility. This point naturally goes along with the previous point. It naturally follows with the previous point. You see, it is pride. Bottom line, it is pride that wants to worship God the way we think He ought to be worshipped. That's pride, isn't it? It is pride that wants to offer to God the things that we think He ought to like and that ought to impress Him. In other words, we set ourselves up as being the standard, the authority of what God wants and what God desires. That's pride. True worship comes from a heart of humility. Comes from a heart of humility. Humility puts self aside. It's not what I want. It's not what I prefer. It's not what excites me. It's not what makes me feel good. Not what gives me a religious tingle. It's not about me. It has everything to do with God. That's humility. Putting self in second place, putting God in first place. Humility. So third thing I want us to notice, the worshipper's adoration. The worshipper's adoration. If you go back and look at verse 2, verse 3, verse number 4, you will notice that one point is very clearly seen. The point is this. When the people came to worship the Lord God, they did not come with a petition on their lips. They did not come with a petition on their lips. Rather, they came with a present in their hand. Came with a present in their hand. When that worshiper brought his gift from the field, he was simply giving back to the Lord that which the Lord had given to him. Last time we saw how that Abraham, you remember, God said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, the son you love. I want you to take that son. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. But you need to remember, the reason why Abraham had a son was because God gave him to him, right? God gave him that son. So therefore, the fact is that when we come and we offer our worship to God, just like Abraham and just like these Jews that we read about here in our text, the offering, technically, the offering did not cost them anything. Didn't cost them anything. Because what they were giving to God was something God had already given to them. Right? So technically it did not cost them anything. The fact they gave the offering simply demonstrated their love for God, their relationship with God, and it demonstrated their gratitude to God for all that He had done for them. That's the same truth. That's the same truth that we find in the worship of David in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 14. Here's what he said. He said, "But who am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" Who are we that we have the privilege to bring a gift and to give it to God and to worship God in this way? For all things, notice what he said. He said, who are we to give an offering so willingly to God? For all things come from thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Of thine own we've given thee. Brother Luke, you got a money? Wow. The Lord got somebody's number. You got some money? No money? Oh. Key June, you got money? Okay. What you got in there? That'll do. Thank you. One, two, three, four. You kids have too much money. $47. Huh? You still got coins? Okay, you can have the coins. $47. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. No, I'm kidding. All right, $47. You giving this to me? Say yes. Yes, okay. So he's giving this to me. He's good. I won't say he's God, but he's good, okay? And so he's giving me this gift. And in my appreciation, Ki-jun, I'm going to give that back to you. That cost me anything? Did it? No. Why? I just gave back to him what he gave to me. And that's exactly how we worship God, isn't it? Everything we have, God has given it to us. And when we give back to him, actually, we're only giving back to him some of that which he gave to us. That's worship. That's worship. May God help us to be gratefully, humbly, obediently bringing our basket of worship to God. Not to the place of our choosing, to the place of His choosing. Which is where? Storehouse. New Testament church. That's where our offerings belong. It's not my choice, not your choice, God's choice. It's His offering. He tells us where to bring it. He tells us where to bring it. And so may God help us to bring our basket of worship to God. And may there be nothing in our lives that we are not willing to lay down on the altar of worship. Because see, folks, when God gives things to us, and we allow those things to become the priority in our life, instead of giving them back to God, we begin to hoard them. We don't call it hoarding. We call it saving for a rainy day, right? That doesn't sound as bad. But we begin to hoard those. See, here's the problem. Then those blessings from God actually become an idol that destroys our relationship with God. True worship. True worship is only possible when our hearts are wholly focused on God and God alone. And there is nothing in our life, nothing in our life that we are not willing to give back to Him. Understanding that everything we have, including the air that we breathe, we have it because He gave it to us. True worship. May God help that to be a reality in each of our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You.